UNLV football has its best performance of the Mountain West conference season. UNLV football still loses, though. This is the Rebel Room. Mike Grimala joining me, Case Kiefer. No Ray Brewer today. He just couldn't take another loss. That's not true. He had something else going on prior engagement.
He is safe. Yeah. He's safe. He's alive and safe.
He's okay. He might be a little depressed just because his dreams of, well, I guess he picked the Rebels to go 8-4. That's officially out of the window. But even a bowl eligibility looking extremely, extremely unlikely now with UNLV falling to 2-5 in a 41-35 loss to Air Force.
And this is the same spot they found themselves in last year, where they were, I believe, 2-5, and then they had to win 4 out of their last 5 in order to qualify for a bowl game, and they came up just short. They actually made a good run of it, and they went into the final week with a chance to win at Reno and get to 6-6, but they lost that game. It's gonna take quite a doing in order to make a similar sort of rally here. You've got a good start this week, San Jose State. That's probably the most winnable game left on the schedule. It's pretty even by the spread. I think you said UNLV is a 1-point favorite or somewhere thereabouts. If you're going to try to make some kind of turnaround, this is the week to start it. This is probably your easiest matchup, so maybe you go up there. If you take care of business on the road, maybe you can get a little something going.
Right. They got so hot there. Well, I mean, I guess hot for UNLV standards. Last year, I forgot they were ever even 2-5. This was the spot last year where they went to Fresno State and won. Certainly should be a lot easier at San Jose State. I was a little surprised. It has flipped. Now, actually, San Jose State, a 1-point favorite. So some action has come in on the Spartans, which is just hard to believe. I know they played well last week against San Diego State, but not a great team by any means. But before we get to that, this game, you were there, so obviously your take means more, but from watching it from afar, it seemed like UNLV was competitive right there for most of the game, played well, except there was just like a 10-minute stretch or so where everything went awry and ultimately what doomed them.
Yeah, it was the most alarming thing, I guess, was Air Force. You picture them and you get the running game and the option game and all that stuff, and you figure it's going to be a grind, and you know they're going to get their 5-6 yards of carry, and you've got to deal with that all game. I don't think what anyone expected was Air Force to come out and, you know, complete 9 of their first 9 passes for 200 yards, and they're averaging over 20 yards per attempt. And they were just getting big plays in the passing game, and I think that's when they created some separation. You know, their UNLV defense was getting sucked into that running game, and then anytime Air Force wanted to switch it up and go for the big play through the air, they were able to hit it. And Tony Sanchez said that was just... he said they got out-physicaled and they just got outplayed in the back end. He said their defensive backs couldn't compete with the Air Force receivers, which is, I mean, if you're a UNLV fan, how do you feel hearing that? Like, your defensive backs can't keep up with Air Force's receivers, and that's a team that doesn't throw the ball. They were too many big plays, and that's what sort of gave Air Force that cushion. UNLV tried to make a little bit of a comeback. They came up short. But, yeah, they just fell behind by too much, too many big plays by the defense.
Yeah, and it looks like I think that 10-minute stretch I was talking about, they gave up 17 points to start the second half right in a row. And I guess dating back to the beginning of the first half, actually, Air Force scored at the end, so they gave up, what, 24 unanswered? Obviously not going to win a game like that. And they did cause 2 incompletions after the 9 straight completions. But Isaiah Sanders, still averaged 19.7 yards per attempt. You don't see that very often in a college box score.
And especially, like I said, for a team like Air Force, where you don't expect them to come out throwing the ball all over you. That's sort of the last thing you worry about. You worry about that, the fullback dive and the pitch and the quarterback keeper. And so the passing game is sort of down on the priority list, and they cut UNLV to pieces with the passing game. One thing Tony Sanchez said, and it was something that I was thinking about heading into the San Jose State game, which might benefit UNLV a little bit, is that after playing, you know, New Mexico and Air Force, two teams they lost to, two running teams, San Jose State is more of a traditional sort of drop-back passing team. They pass it more than they run it. They're a team that they're bottom 10 in the country in sacks allowed. So that's a team that UNLV might be able to match up a little bit better with. They don't match up with these option teams. They're not physical enough up front to, you know, stop a strong running game. But a team like San Jose State that wants to throw the ball and they drop back and the quarterback, you know, he's going to be there in the pocket. UNLV has had some success with that earlier in the season. So Tony Sanchez said He's sort of relieved they can get back to their more base defensive calls. They can mix in some more blitzes. They can play some different coverages that they're better at. He thinks this is just a better matchup for their defense for, you know, stylistically against San Jose State. So maybe that gives them a little bit of a jump start as well.
Yeah, I could totally see that. Not a bad thing for Tony Sanchez to say, but I think we have to take pause and look at what's happened these last 3 weeks to start Mountain West play. I know they held Air Force below 50, so that's a improvement because, of course, Utah State and New Mexico State both scored 50. But I just think back to a month ago or even going into the season, we just said, you know, there's no way this defense isn't a little bit better. New coordinator. They kind of hit rock bottom last year. I'm just stunned. I mean, you could make a case the defense has been even worse so far, right? I mean, where's that kind of stand?
I would say they've been better just because that non-conference schedule for those four games, we saw something that these previous defenses just couldn't do, and that was the pressure on the quarterback. After four games, you know, through non-conference play, as UNLV went into their bye week, they were ranked 30th in the entire country in sack rate. You know, they were getting after the quarterback. They had more sacks in the first four games than they had all of last season. They were, I think, 34th or 35th in total sacks. I mean, they were getting after the quarterback. They were doing all the things that Sanchez said they wanted to do in the offseason. They made the change at coordinator because they wanted a guy who was more aggressive. They wanted to blitz more. They wanted to get in the backfield. And they were doing it, and it was working. They won a couple games. They probably should have or could have won at Arkansas State. Everything was working, and then a lot of it is matchup based. Like I said, they just don't match up well with those power running, you know, those New Mexico, the Air Force. Utah State is just on a – they're more of a passing team, but they're just on a different level than UNLV. They couldn't stay on the field with them. So it's been a bad stretch matchup-wise for the defense. They've gotten dinged up with injuries. Their depth is always horrible just because they haven't recruited well, you know, pre-Sanchez or in the first couple of years, so they've still got a lot of freshmen coming in as backups. So, yeah, it's been a bad stretch for them. San Jose State and Fresno State, little more, those next two teams, a little more traditional the way they line up and sort of the offenses they run. So I think maybe a little bit of a bounce back, and that's what Sanchez is hanging his hat on. I do think this defense is a little bit better. They can get better, maybe get back to what they were doing earlier in the season. So I don't think it's like the last few years where the defense, you just completely write them off and, you know, you're going to give up 50 points every game. I think they can get back to what they were doing before. We just got to see them do it, and they've got to see if they've still got it and if they can get it going here against San Jose State.
I know Air Force's defense also not exactly the strong suit of the team, so I think you kind of have to take all the numbers UNLV accrued here with a little bit of a grain of salt. Max Gilliam's best game, he averaged 7 yards per attempt, three touchdowns. The ground game kind of did its job. I guess what from this game do you take out as something to look for going forward and what maybe was a little bit of an outlier, not something to expect?
Well, the thing that I thought was interesting on offense is they came out throwing the ball. The first couple of games, you get the sense that they were trying to maybe protect Max Gilliam a little bit. They're running on first down.
Still saying Gilliam. You know, I can't get over it.
I don't know if he's earned the two syllable name yet. So, but he's they showed some more trust in him. I think the coaching staff is starting to realize one what Gilliam can and can't do. So they're getting a better grasp of what sort of plays to call, how to get him in a rhythm, and two, I think they've just realized that without Armani back there, the running game is not the running game that you're used to at UNLV. You can't just run it on first and second down and get a first down or get into third and one because teams don't respect Gilliam's running ability. He's not the runner that Armani Rogers was. So you can't just rely on your running game. You've got to mix it up. You've got to do something different. You've got to make the opposing defenses respect the passing game a little bit, and that means opening it up, throwing on first down, playing a little spread, getting the ball out quickly and just sort of seeing if you can make them respect the passing game first. And then that creates some space for Lexington Thomas to maybe do some stuff. Tony Sanchez said that they were playing against heavy boxes all day long against Air Force, and that's why they just stuck with the pass. And it worked for the most part. I thought you saw Gilliam move the ball a little bit, threw a couple touchdowns. He's getting more confident. He's not holding the ball as long and taking sacks. So I would say look for that more against San Jose State. I would expect them to do something similar, if not a 50-50 split, somewhere close to that. I think they're going to let Gilliam come out and throw the ball again and see if that see if they can force the defense to respect that.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like we said, he had a successful game here against Air Force, and it looks like, just a very cursory look at San Jose State's numbers, it looks like their pass defense is even more exploitable than their rush defense. So it might not be a bad idea to see if Gillum can pick up some yards that way. UNLV last year beat San Jose State 41-13. Stunningly, though, that broke a four-year losing streak to the Spartans.
That's hard to believe, right?
Yeah, every game was close, every spread was close, but still they've been such a bad program. It's hard to believe that since they've started playing each other every year again in 2013, UNLV's only 1-4.
I mean, and I figure this one would be about the same. I mean, if you figure if Rogers is healthy, that UNLV would be big favorites here. Or if UNLV was not coming off three, you know, horrible losses where they're averaging, you know, 50 points allowed per game. This is a team that they probably, of all things were equal, I would say that they should beat, even on the road. But given what we've seen over the last month, there's no confidence in saying that or expecting that. Gillum, like we said, they may have found a little bit of something to get him in a rhythm last week, but I wouldn't be shocked if they went out there this week and he started the game 2 of 8 and they were down by 14 before you can blink. You can't rule that kind of stuff out just because that's the kind of football UNLV has been playing for the past month. They might be good. They might be terrible. It's really hit or miss. This is their last chance to really play on equal footing with someone, not as a big underdog. This is their last chance to, you know, get a good solid win that where you just go out and play your game and expect to win. So, I mean, it's pretty much now or never in order to save the season. So we'll see what kind of effort we get from them.
Right. I mean, going into the season, UNLV projected as a 2-touchdown or bigger favorite here, despite being on the road. So it shows you how big of a swing there is. And San Jose State is 0-7, but, you know, they have made some strides. They're probably a little unlucky to be 0-7. I think they have three losses by less than a touchdown. So, certainly UNLV is not on a different level. I think this, if you're a UNLV fan or have, you know, any, I feel like you have to be expecting a win here despite the being an underdog now, but it's just a rough situation. We've mentioned Armani Rogers a couple times, but are you expecting to get any update this week or what's his status at
no,
the moment?
They updated his status yesterday on Monday, and Tony Sanchez said that his recovery is tricky because, you know, you'll see Armani, you know, out at inside the practice facility or walking around or in the weight room or whatever, and he looks fine and he says he doesn't feel any pain, but they need that injury, they need that bone or that tendon or whatever it is in his toe to be 100%, or he could re-aggravate it very easily, and then he's out for the year, and then he's out into the off season, and then you're dealing with a bigger problem. So even if Rogers says, you know, he feels good and he wants to get back, they've got to be careful about not rushing him back too early because that's an injury that could be re-aggravated. So I think they're going to take it slow with him. The original timeline was about 6 weeks, which would have let him play the final two games. I think that's probably where they still stand. If they win this game, maybe if they get on a roll, maybe you could, if they somehow get to, you know, 3-5 or 4-5, maybe, or something like that, you try and get him back maybe a week sooner, but even that is kind of iffy. I still wouldn't risk it for this team, for this season. But I wouldn't expect him back anytime soon. The last two games, maybe.
All right, well, good to know. Also, if they somehow do, well, I guess 3-5, that would only be winning this game, but if they somehow miraculously knocked off Fresno State to make a two-game winning streak, I think that would require quite the effort from Max Gillum. Maybe you wouldn't be in any rush to get him back by then.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Gillum, against Air Force, he threw for, you know, 26 of 38, 261 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. And that interception was a 3rd-and-20 heave downfield, basically an arm punt. That's better than any game Armani Rogers has ever had throwing the ball. So, I mean, you can say, yeah, it was against they were down for the entire second half and they had to throw the ball. But still, I mean, if they were down by 3 touchdowns with Armani back there, they're still not putting up those kind of passing numbers. I do think Gillum is a better passer. So, I mean, maybe they do find something. I don't think it's likely. But, yeah, if they win these next two games or if they do go on a run, it's going to have to be because of Max Gillum playing well. So I do agree with you there.
So Saturday, San Jose State. We've broken it down a little. Probably not a game many people are going to be paying attention to outside of the most loyal fan bases. I guess put you on the spot and make a prediction. What do you expect in this game?
I think UNLV will win the game. I don't know by how much. I liked what Gillum did. I don't think it was a fluke against the Air Force. I think UNLV has sort of found, like I said, a rhythm for him. He's a rhythm passer. He's a soft tosser. He needs to get the ball out quickly. He's got to be complete. You know, to run that kind of offense, you've got to be very comfortable in your reads and pre-snap and know where you're going with the ball so that you can confidently get rid of it quickly and before the defense can react. And you've got to place the ball very well. And we started this. Those are things Gillum can do in optimum situations. And we saw him start to do that against the Air Force. He threw a couple touchdown passes that were really nice. He's placing the ball. If he plays like he did against Air Force, I think UNLV will win this game. It's a good, because of Gillum coming out, and also because I just think it's a good matchup for their defense. San Jose State can't run the ball at all. So UNLV, that's their probably their biggest weakness. They're up front. They are not big enough or strong enough, athletic enough to slow down good running teams. It's not a problem against San Jose State. They can get after the quarterback. If they can get 2, 3, 4 sacks, I think they'll win the game.
Yeah, I'm really torn on this one. As I said earlier, San Jose State's had some bad luck in close games. Feel like they should at least have a win by now. That being said, it's just hard to ignore what we thought coming into the season. I think it's pretty clear that this is one game where UNLV does have more talent, despite some injuries. So I also just think it's fitting that maybe we're totally positive off of a 4-game losing streak when Ray Brewer is not here.
Maybe it's the chair. Maybe it's the chair I'm sitting in.
Exactly. I think UNLV edges San Jose State in this game too. That would bring them to 3-5. But coming with Fresno State and at San Diego State the next 2 weeks, I think it's going to be a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, I mean, if they win this one, it gives you a little bit of hope, but it could be extinguished very quickly. Although, I mean, UNLV has had some success against Fresno State in the recent past. So, I mean, you win this game, take care of business, and then worry about Fresno State, and then you try and pull a big upset at home. And then you can start to think about, you know, hey, maybe we got a shot here. But, yeah, San Jose State is the big one. That's a game that I still think they should win, even though they're technically underdogs now. I do think that's a game they should win.
Yeah, first time in 2 years that San Jose State has been favored in a Mountain West game. Just another crazy little thing to see. We'll see if UNLV can get it together against San Jose State. And if they do, I fully expect Brewer will be back with us next week and whooping it up and telling us why they're going to beat Fresno State.
Yeah, why they got that 4-1 run in them, and they're going to go to a bowl game, and they're going to finish the job that they didn't do last year. Yeah, I can see that storyline start to develop if they win one game.
And my goal will be to get Max Gillum's name right throughout.
Well, if he plays like he did last week, if he starts to play like that on a consistent basis, I think a lot of people are going to start to know his name and pronounce his name.
I like
correctly.
Your merit-based syllable theory. That's what I'll go with.
Hey, you got to earn it.
Exactly. So one more game, and Max Gillum will earn it. UNLV San Jose State. Can't say I recommend watching this one, but if you're a UNLV diehard, I know you will. And we will be back, hopefully on Monday next week, to break it down. For Mike, I'm Case. Thanks for listening to The Rebel Room.